The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. 7 days a week. Coming up on Life Today, U.S. Senator Ted Cruz challenges us to stand up for the biblical principles upon which America was founded and freedom flourished.
When I was a kid, over and over again, my dad would say to me, when we face depression in Cuba, I had a place to flee to. If we lose our freedom here, where do we go?
Wow.
Fighting to restore America's faith, family, and freedom. Next.
Thank all of you. Thank you so much. Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. My wife, Betty, has a hacking cough, and we have a guest today that she said, I'm just simply not going to cough my way through, and I'm not going to get up and leave because I want to encourage all of our leaders in Washington prayerfully and lift them up, and certainly this one. Senator Ted Cruz is our special guest today, and I want to simply say to you and the television audience that I have been behind the scenes talking to the individuals who are praying about whether or not they run in the future for the highest office or offices in the land, and trying to make every one of them aware of the importance of divine providence and prayer, and really being able to listen to those who believe faith, family, and freedom all fit uniquely and beautifully together. And Senator Ted Cruz is one of the senators that I think understands that, and he's our guest. We will be inviting others who are considering what they're going to do to be right here with us, and they all have indicated they are anxious to come. They want to meet you. They want you to know them. Would you all here welcome Senator Ted Cruz to Life Today? Good to see you. Well, I want to apologize for the more beautiful and better half not being here, but of course Heidi was invited to come too. We are both much weaker without them.
No doubt, and please tell Betty our prayers are with her. I hope she feels better soon.
Well, thank you. And you said Heidi would come with you sometime soon.
She is looking forward to it.
So that means she can straighten out everything that goes on today, right?
Well, look, both of us, anyone who sees our wives knows that we can't be all bad given the women that married us.
That's great. Senator, I do count it an honor to have you here. I can't even begin to express to you the gratitude that I express to the Lord for your devotion to our nation, to freedom, but also your dedication to learn what it is that makes a people great and a nation great. You are so strong that it's admirable, but I have had the privilege of being with you like this, where it's just us.
Right.
And I sense that you really have a broken heart. I want to ask you why it is that you ever got in the race. I don't think you were looking for a job. Why would you take on the impossible challenge of even winning the nomination and winning the Senate here and then going to Washington to face such difficult challenges? Why did you do that? What made you do it?
Well, James, I think our country's in crisis. I think you and I both have felt anger and sadness at the direction. I mean, we're seeing fiscal and economic challenges where we're bankrupting our kids, we're bankrupting our grandkids. We're seeing our constitutional rights under assault. We are seeing the basic values this country was built on being undermined from Washington. And you know, much of my motivation, I think with all of us, our family story is a big part of who we are. I know your incredible family story plays a very big part in who you are and the compassion you have for people who are struggling, because you've traveled that journey.
Right.
You know, for me, you've gotten to know my father, and my dad's story is a big, big part of who I am and why I ran for office to begin with, which was 57 years ago. My dad fled Cuba, and he was 18 at the time. He had been imprisoned and tortured in Cuba as a teenager. And when he came here, he was penniless. He couldn't speak English. And his first job was washing dishes, making 50 cents an hour. And he worked 7 days a week to pay his way through school, went on to start a small business, to work towards the American dream. As you know, today my dad's a pastor. Mm-hmm. And when I was a kid, over and over again, my dad would say to me, when we faced oppression in Cuba, I had a place to flee to. If we lose our freedom here, where do we go?
Wow.
And there is no place to go. And that is the reason I'm trying to do my best to stand up. The reason why so many millions of Americans right now are standing up is because we see our freedom slipping away. And now I think is the time to pull this country back.
You know, it's hard for me to imagine that people don't understand when you put a tax burden on people mm-hmm. that cannot, and the budget's so overwhelming that it has to be paid by children mm-hmm. not yet born, mm-hmm. that you're in fact breaking the Ten Commandment, thou shalt not steal, because you're taking from others. You're imposing something on them mm-hmm. that is indescribably awful. And when we're also devaluing all life, when we devalue the most innocent, helpless life
right.
in the womb, all in the name of a person's right to mm-hmm. choose. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we don't understand what that's doing to values overall.
Yep.
And I don't understand how people who profess to know God as mm-hmm. Father, mm-hmm. how they would not understand the importance of standing up to a power base, an influence, right. that encourages that and even passes policy and law to support such
right.
atrocities.
Right.
And that's precisely what we're mm-hmm. allowing and watching to happen right now. And your dad says mm-hmm. it's the pastors and the priests mm-hmm. and the church leaders' mm-hmm. fault and people who claim to know God. It's their fault. They've handed the future off to people who are against God, against mm-hmm. basic mm-hmm. understanding of marriage and morality. Mm-hmm. And it looks to me like too often that's the case.
Sadly, it has been. You know, right now, 76% of Americans say that they don't think their kids will have a better life than they do. That is about as un-American an idea as I can imagine. I mean, literally for centuries, that's never been the case. The American idea was that each generation would stand on the shoulders of their parents and grandparents and move towards and achieve the American dream. And, you know, you were talking about the impact of the debt. It reminded me, in the fall of 2012, I spoke at the Republican convention down in Tampa. And I talked about our two little girls, Caroline and Catherine, who are the joy of our life. And I talked about the national debt. And that night, Heidi and I went back to the hotel room, and I pulled out my iPhone. I began looking at Twitter. And it so happened that Paula Poundstone, the comedian, was watching that night, and I guess she didn't have anything better to do, but she sent a tweet. She said, Ted Cruz just said, when his daughter was born, the national debt was $10 trillion. Now it's $16 trillion. What the heck did she do?
Only a Texan.
which Heidi and I doubled over laughing. But, you know, Caroline, our oldest daughter, she's six now. In her short life, the national debt has gone from $10 trillion to now it's nearly $18 trillion. And I think what we're doing to our kids and grandkids, it's immoral. Our parents didn't do that to us. Their parents didn't do that to them. And if we're going to get back to an environment where every one of us believes our children and grandchildren will have a better life, which is the American way, we got to get back to the principles this country was founded on. And I think there is an urgency to doing so now that is unlike any time in our lifetimes.
How important do you think it is for people who profess to know Jesus Christ as Christians, both Protestant mm-hmm. and Catholic, who believe that God so loved the world He right. gave? How important is it for people who claim that relationship to be involved in the process of selection and election of those who will lead and impose policies mm-hmm. and even laws mm-hmm. which will either benefit or burden us? How important is it for these people to be involved? Because it seems to me many of them are not even registered and they're not involved. If they are registered, they don't vote. And if they do vote, they don't seem to vote well informed. They have no understanding of the mm-hmm. times. Mm-hmm. They vote personality rather than principle. Yep. That's very disturbing to me because I think it's a great loss when you do that.
James, you're exactly right. It is not only critically important, but it is a scriptural command. There are roughly 90 million self-described evangelical Christians in the United States. Of those 90 million, only 50% are registered to vote. Of those, about half are showing up and voting.
And half of those probably uninformed.
And that means nearly 70 million evangelical Christians have been staying home. Now look, if people of faith stay home, is it any wonder we have the government we have today? You mentioned my dad. My dad, a couple of years ago, God really laid on his heart a burden for pastors. He travels the country speaking at pastors' conferences. And he's got a hard message. It's not an easy message. And the message he conveys to pastors is that God convicted him that no one bears more responsibility for where this country is than pastors. That if the flock stumbles into the ditch, you don't blame the sheep. You blame the shepherd. Mm-hmm. And the Word commands us to be salt and light. And you can't be salt unless you are in contact with what you're there to preserve. You can't be light if you're hidden under a bushel. And I think far too many people of faith have said, you know what, politics is a dirty business. I don't need to worry myself about it. And can you imagine how different our country would be if an additional 70 million evangelical Christians simply showed up and voted biblical values? We would be on a fundamentally different path.
Do you agree with what he just said, that therein lies not only the revelation of a great contributing factor to the demise and in so many ways the downfall of our nation and the ditch of debt and so much defeat and so much dissension, and therein lies the solution. You notice quickly in Washington and everywhere there's an agency that Washington mm-hmm. put in place, there's the turf protection mentality.
Oh, sure.
At the expense of the other agencies and at the great expense of all the people they have been put in place to help protect. Mm-hmm. I contend that a lot of this turf protection ideology has come from churches with their sectarian divide and their particular point of view, to the point it actually becomes an idol, like the serpent on the pole that the people once looked to and lived, and ultimately they were commanded to tear it down because it became an idol. Mm-hmm. We put a lot of things up and we begin to protect our territory at the expense of the truth, at the expense of the people, at the expense of freedom. Mm-hmm. Now, as a minister, I mean, you think about this, a Baptist evangelist who's, tough, you know, Ted Cruz tough, Raphael Cruz tough, going over and high-fiving the Pope because we have a wonderful time together, talking about the greatness of Jesus.
Absolutely.
The greatness of our God and our Father. Mm-hmm. Would it not be beneficial if people would put their sword down against each other and take it up against the real enemy, the enemy of truth and of life and of love and morality and marriage and freedom? Wouldn't it be great if we'd really point to the right enemy and quit pointing at one another? Do you believe there's any hope that can happen?
I really do. I believe not only there's hope that can happen, I think it is happening.
You are known, one of my staff, who will head up an outreach that we refer to as the stream, a river of love and life, literally a faith and freedom stream of life and truth, made the statement that he loves your titanium spine. And I said, but we also need the heart of Mother Teresa.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And we kind of smiled. You have been able to throw some things down that need to be thrown down. The Old Testament prophet talked about tearing down, but he also talked about building up. You've burned some bridges, and we'll high-five you for that, okay? There's more that need to be burned, okay? But in order to get where we have to get politically, nationally, you're going to have to build bridges. Mm-hmm. How do you see that happening?
Well, the way I've tried to conduct myself in the time I've been in Washington, I've really tried to do two things. Number one, do what I said I would do. Honor the commitments I made to the 26 million Texans that I'm responsible for representing. And number two, tell the truth. Now, That shouldn't be unusual. I mean, we should expect that of every member of Congress.
It's very unusual in Washington.
It sadly is.
It's shocking people.
But it, in the time I've been in the Senate, to the best of my knowledge, I've never spoken an ill word of any member of the Senate, Republican or Democrat. Now, there have been one or two folks who've thrown rocks my direction. I can't control what they do, but I can control how I respond. And what I've tried to do is very much to turn the other cheek, not to reciprocate, but instead, look, as my wife Heidi is fond of reminding me, best political advice I ever got, I was walking out to give a talk somewhere. I was getting ready to step on stage, and Heidi pulled me aside and said, "Remember, it's not about you. It's about them."
Boy, that's so right.
And at the end of the day, nobody cares about politicians bickering in Washington. We care about our kids, about the future for our grandchildren, about the values of this country, about the liberties we were built on. And so what I've tried to do is not worry about the bickering, not respond in kind, but keep the focus. And, you know, it was very much the approach Reagan took. Reagan was a happy warrior. You know, one of my favorite exchanges, you may remember, was a press conference Reagan did, where Sam Donaldson, remember the reporter from ABC, Sam Donaldson, you know, aggressively asked the president a question, said, Mr. President, you have blamed the problems in this country on Democrats in Congress, on Tip O'Neill, and everybody else. Mr. President, you're president of the United States. Don't you bear any of the responsibility for the problems in this country? And Reagan, with a twinkle in his eye, he leaned forward and he said, "Well, Sam, yes, I do. I bear considerable responsibility because for many years, I was a Democrat."
Would you say thanks to Senator Ted Cruz for joining up on Life Today? Senator, I'm going to show you something that will inspire you, and you're going to actually see the way to deal with painful situations effectively, unlike the way the government normally does it. Uh-huh. Would you be available? Let's talk in a second program. Would you?
Absolutely.
I want to ask you if you're anti-immigrant. You know, a strange thing to ask, you know, someone from a Cuba heritage.
Sure.
I want to ask you about that and some of the other things that I think people want to know. Mm-hmm. Would you like for us to have a Senator Cruz for another program? Well, let me tell you what I want you to do right now. I want you to look at a situation that should touch your heart very deeply, but you shouldn't see it as hopeless. Because when you say help is on the way, this is appropriate, meaningful help. This works because it's love that never fails. Watch this closely.
This is the best part of my day when I have the privilege of sitting here feeding these children. Now, this is probably the only meal they will have all day, just one meal a day. But there is so much life in this bowl of food. I mean, you can look around at the land here. It's incredibly dry. They couldn't grow their own food if they wanted to. And I know that it's because of this is what's making the difference in their life. I can't imagine not having a program like this available to this village, to this community, to this child. Without your help, these children will not survive. With your help, they're doing more than surviving. They're thriving because of the things that we give them, life. There is life in this cup that will change your world. God bless you, Angel. It's something so simple. I'm overwhelmed by it. I'm sorry. I get so overwhelmed by it. Just like the simplest thing, like food. It moves me deeply, the need. It breaks my heart to see that they have very little. But it also brings me great joy to be a part of such an incredible ministry that is making a difference. So thank you so much from my heart to you, Life Outreach. Thank you for all that you do, and thank you for letting me be a part of it.
You know, the only way you can effectively meet a crisis is with compassion. And I honestly believe that the most compassionate people that I've ever come across are the viewers of Life Today, like you, and perhaps you've never helped us. Maybe you're watching because you're just concerned about things that affect you, your family, and your future. But that means you care. These children and their families are facing death, starvation, malnutrition, lack of health. We can change it all. We can change it by putting porridge in a heat-resistant bowl that viewers like you encouraged us to give so they wouldn't bring various types of tin cans, burn their little hands on the hot soup mix, or sometimes even a plastic bag that the soup would burn right through. I'm praying before I come out to do any television program any time of the year. God, touch the hearts of the viewers where they would identify with parents and family members and even identify with your heart, God, and care enough to simply reach out and touch someone with undeniable love. Would you help us feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months with a gift of $30, $50, or $100? Would you do that? I don't know where you could better spend $100 than to feed 10 children. And you know, we've got viewers that have been so blessed of God that you're able to do even more. And we really need friends who will give $1,000 to feed 100 or $5,000 to feed 500, because we've got 400,000 already located. And as a matter of fact, we've located so many that have already been brought into the clinics where basically without a miracle, they've got a few hours or a few days to live because there wasn't a feeding center. And we're establishing new centers. And that is part of the 400,000 that we're asking you to help us feed, the missionaries, take care of. Would you reach out and really touch someone with love by dialing that number that's always there if your heart's broken or you want someone to join with you in prayer 24 hours a day, they're there. But right now, would you reach out and say, here's my gift, and put it on your bank card. Use that card like it's a check. That's how you should use them. And just say, here's my 100 or my 50 or my 30, or perhaps you can give even more. We want to send you the incredibly, beautifully bound, leather-bound, large print study Bible. It's just beautiful. And it's easy to carry, as well as the devotional book with many of our wonderful guests to be a blessing to you. We always want to say thank you for giving life. Would you go to the phone right now? Or go online and just go to lifetoday.org and make the gift God put in your heart. Now, if you're mailing a check made to Life, call us and tell us what you're putting in the mail. Please do that.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and even some Ebola-threatened areas of Sudan. With all of our previous reserves gone and Angola facing its worst drought and food shortage in 20 years, we need to immediately replenish our funding and supplies for our feeding programs. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, $100, or $300 will help feed and care for 3, 5, 10, or 30 children for the next 3 months. With your support and the partnership of others, your gift goes a long way to help save lives. Please call us, write, or go online today and make your gift. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you All Things New, a brand new 31-day devotional featuring inspiration from a variety of special guests of Life Today and an instrumental worship CD to bless you in your quiet times with the Lord. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, please request the NIV Larger Print Leather-Bound Reference Bible. And finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or go online today and make your gift of life to help feed and care for hungry children.
You know, Senator, when you heard me talking about giving these little heat-resistant bowls full of porridge, replacing tin cans and plastic bags that the hot soup would burn through, and I watched the children for many years drop down on the ground and scoop the porridge up with the dirt to get it in their little mouths. And to know the African governments have told us we've saved over 10 million children's lives in those hard-hit countries, to me, that's the compassion connection. Yeah. I think that's what so often is lacking in bureaucratic agencies or government attempts, because however sincere you are in meeting a need, a very legitimate need, if you don't meet it legitimately or correctly, we're actually setting things back. Like our entitlement programs are actually hurting the poor. The war on poverty has become a war on the poor. And so I think that we've got to have this compassion, and I got to be honest with you. I see you as a strong, well-educated man, and I believe you'd be willing to stand and the face the fury of all the an enemy of life and freedom could throw at you. But I believe compassion moves you. I think, am I wrong about this? I think this is why you ran for office and why you're willing to continue to pursue a leadership role. Am I right about that?
James, you're exactly right. Let me say, first of all, thank you for your ministry. Thank you for touching these lives and saving these lives. You know, as I was watching that video, I couldn't help but think, my wife Heidi, when she was a little girl, lived in Africa. She lived in Kenya. She lived in Nigeria. Her parents were Christian missionaries over there. And her grandfather spent 34 years as a missionary in Africa. And Heidi several times periodically spent a couple of months one period, a couple of months another period, living in Africa. And you look at the suffering that is occurring there and the obligation of all of us to reach out in Christian love.
Thank you for being with us. Would you say thanks to Senator Cruz? Thank you so much. Thank you for watching. And thank you for giving life.
When the Declaration and Constitution were drafted, they were drafted on the knees of the Founding Fathers through prayer.
Senator Ted Cruz, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.